The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Cowboys up 34-14. This game's over. All we need to do here is get Carver high another score to hit the over. But isn't that right? Isn't that what you want? One more score?
I need one more touchdown, yeah, because a field goal is going to leave me by a half. I have 51.5, so.
All right. So, and then the other thing I noticed was the scrum on the sideline. Did you see that evolve?
I did see that evolve. That was quite the scrum.
You gotta, is there anyone on the team, like, you know, a veteran maybe? There's got to be at least one person on the team, on the Cowboys. Like, there's got to be one guy that's in charge of telling young players like Curse, there's your touchdown.
Let's go.
Telling one player like Curse, you're an immature asshat. Grow the F up. Stop going on the other team's sideline and, you know, talking shack to everyone like you're going to take on the whole team by your skinny ass self. Like, how embarrassing was that Curse guy, like, over there talking crap to everyone like he's going to beat up the whole Eagles team. And he's, as he's standing in the middle of their sideline with 50 guys wrapped around him that would have killed him dead. And he's talking all kinds of smack. And then number seven, you know, is talking like, you know what it is? It's always the same thing. It's some young rookie guy that's so immature and so childish still, thinking I'm an NFL player now, so I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to pick a fight here on the visiting team sideline. And I'm going to take on 40 or 50 guys at once with my one skinny-ass teammate who's also a rookie. Like, how embarrassing. Like, you don't ever see some old veteran guy doing that. They just get up from the play at the sideline where the guy went too far and tackled him too far out of bounds. And then you just get up and leave because you're a veteran and you know, you're, you know, playing for a paycheck, but you're not still in college starting a fight after every play. Like in college, they do that. Like every play, there's a big fight breaking out because you're not going to come into our house and talk to us that way. Is there anything more ridiculous than that sideline scrum we just saw?
Probably not. It was one of the worst ones. There's no question about that. I mean, just nothing ever evolves out of it either. It's usually the dopiest thing you ever see is when these have this little sideline scrum. Ridiculous.
Or a flag. You get a 15-yard penalty. Incidentally, by the way, when you watch an NFL game now, it's just the longest yard with all these flags. Did you see last week in week three, they threw more flags than they've ever thrown in the history of the league in one day? I mean, by like 25 flags. I think it was by 22 flags they broke the record. They're really overdoing it. I mean, they throw so many flags. The game anymore, and I've had this conversation with you, it's not about touchdowns anymore and points. It's about flags. The game is now about refs. That's as simple as it is. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mighty, your 1090 Sports Map, Sports Byline, for all on the bench. So, I want to talk about all the games that we haven't talked about in college and pro. And I want to start with the Saints beating the Patriots in Foxborough, 28-13. They kicked their ass. I officially think now that the Patriots suck too, because the only team they beat were the Jets. And I think they're, literally in the heap of probably 6 to 8, let's say, is 6 fair? How many bad teams do you think there are? Because I think, like, can I just go through the litany of bad teams? Let me just say who they are. The Patriots and Jets are both terrible. The Steelers are terrible. The Colts are terrible. I'm done listening to anyone. Houston is terrible. That's 5. I do not believe any of the teams in the West are terrible, including the Chiefs. I think the Giants are terrible, and so are the Washington football team. That's 7. And so are the Eagles. That's 8. I think Detroit's terrible. That's 9. And Atlanta's 10. And I think none of the teams out West. There are 10 terrible teams in the league. So you would clearly agree with me, and the Patriots are one of them. They're a terrible team. Even with Bill Belichick, they're going to get whacked Sunday night, too, by the Bucs. You know that Brady's going to come in there and whack them and do them like – it's going to be like Christmas for him.
No, this is – I think this is an absolute loaded up on the Bucs on Sunday night. I mean, Brady has been licking his chops to go up to Foxborough and stick it to Bill Belichick. And I know that Bill wants to stick it to Tom, but here's the problem. Bill don't got the horses to stick it to Tom. Okay? Bill's in a bad spot coming up on Sunday night. Because Brady and the Bucks, they're a machine. And you know Brady's going to be talking to all these guys in that locker room all week long. We're going for a big number this week. A big number.
Well, today on Coast to Coast, I told you that the Cowboys are going to easily cover 4. And I said, pound the Eagles, and they sure did. All right, so Carver High, my Steelers are awful, and I mean the Bengals literally pushed them around at the ketchup bottle, 24-10. What I saw there was season over. I mean, their season's over.
Yeah. That's it. You know, and then you've got who's the Bengal wide receiver, Boyd, today saying that the Steelers basically quit in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's week 3. I mean, that's the type of stuff you hear in, you know, week 14, not in week 3, which is very concerning. It really is. For the Steelers. And I know I saw you yesterday. You're right. They were out on Twitter. Fire Tomlin, fire Tomlin. I think that there's bigger problems than the head coach when it comes to the Steelers. I think that there's personnel problems with the Steelers. They tried to roll the dice and get one more year out of Ben. It looks like that was not the right situation. They have not fixed a glaring problem that they've had for a few years now on the offensive line. I mean, why use a first round pick on a big running back like Najee Harris, but not be able to block for him? Right? I mean, what's the purpose of drafting Harris if you can't block? And they're hurt on defense when Watt doesn't play. When Watt doesn't play, the defense looks different when Watt's not out there.
They're awful. The Bills, as we mentioned earlier, blew out Washington. That's not my point. They play Texans in the B-low, and the number's 17.
17.5 I saw this morning. I mean, you always say anything over 2 touchdowns, how could you lay it? How could you lay anything over 2 touchdowns with anybody in this league? But, man, the Texans are awful. They really are. But how can you
They're
lay?
Awful.
Is that a cheap backdoor touchdown by the Eagles right there?
Yeah,
Eagles in the end zone again?
So you can't even but like they're going to have to play Davis Mills again, right? Because Tyrod Taylor can't play.
I saw saw a big article. I saw at least a tweet or something from our boy John McClain down in Houston, and the headline said, "Cully says Texans will open the offense up for Davis Mills this week." They're going to open the offense up for Mills, Scotty. So that should get everybody excited.
The Bills are going to have four interceptions.
I don't like laying 17.5 points. But, man, like, the Bills not
they
only
beat
have
Washington.
Been,
Washington's yeah. way better than the Texans.
And, well, look at what the Bills have done since the loss to Pittsburgh. 35-0 over Miami, and then a 46-21, whatever it was yesterday, over Washington. Like, it's a, and the game's in Buffalo. It's the kind of game where the Bills can win 41-10. Like, it's that kind of game.
It really is. So the Browns beat the Bears 26-6. Obviously, the Browns are good, right? Obviously, yeah. They're a good football team. They can beat anybody. They should have beat Kansas City.
They should have beat Kansas City. Their defense is a lot better.
They beat the Vikings in Minnesota.
That's an interesting game.
So.
That's a very interesting game this week. You know, the Vikings have been in, they've played three wild games. This one wasn't really wild. They actually pulled away from Seattle in the second half. The Seahawks, it was a wild first half, and then Seattle did nothing in the second half yesterday. I kind of like the Browns. I just think they're a little better than the Vikings. I think they're a little bit better than them.
I think Cousins has played great.
He's been
very productive. He's thrown a lot of touchdowns. I thought he looked great yesterday. I think he'll beat the Browns. And I picked the Vikings outright to beat Seattle, if you'll remember.
Yes.
The Ravens and Lions, you still haven't told me what you thought of that field goal. Can you even believe it?
I couldn't believe it. If there's one guy that you always have to give him a chance to do something like that, clearly it's Tucker. But to get the doink off the bottom crossbar and it to go that way, and that only happens to the Lions. If the Ravens are playing anybody else yesterday, when that ball doinks, it goes towards the field and doesn't go through. But because it's the Lions, they never get doinks like that. I was telling you during Coast to Coast, like, that dude Hollywood Brown, like, somebody better work with him this week. Like, he dropped three, like, completely ran away from guy touchdowns. I mean, he was 20 yards past guys, and Lamar hit him in the hands each time, and he dropped them all. Like stone hands, your boy Hollywood Brown. Now that game shouldn't have even been that close.
He shouldn't be allowed to have the nickname Hollywood anymore.
No, stone hands. That's his new nickname.
Stonehenge.
But I will say this. But you did see we get on Lamar a lot for, you know, maybe not being the best thrower of the football. He threw that dime on 4th and 19 right before the field goal by Tucker. That was a laser that he threw to that dude. So give Lamar a lot of credit on that one. He did a nice job getting him there.
So the Titans beat the Colts in Smashville 25-16.
My buddy was
at the game.
Colts suck. I mean, they suck.
They do. They really do. Like, how can Wentz go on record saying, "We're not worried about anything"? When you're 0-3, you should be very worried.
You should be very worried. I think that their season, like, this is the kind of year it's going to just continue to spiral out of control. Like, what do they got coming up here? I just want to see what the Colts have the next few weeks.
Can they really get the Dolphins in Miami?
Wow, the loser of that game. Think about the trouble the loser of the Dolphin-Colt game is going to be in. The Colts will either be 0-4 or the Dolphins will be 1-3. They could both, you know, that's, wow, that's a big game. And then they play the Ravens. They do play the Texans. And then you have the Niners, the Titans.
I think the Dolphins win the game. They're 2-2. Everything's fine. Brissett has done his job, and the Colts go to 0-4. If the Colts win, they go to 1-3.
So do the
Dolphins, and they're both screwed.
Here's where I think the Colts are already done anyway. And I know it's only three games, but they're 0-3. The Titans are already 2-1 in the division, and they've already lost a game to them. So they're already done in the division. Then you look around at the wild card. I mean, the West has Denver 3-0, Raiders 3-0, Chargers 2-1. I mean, the Ravens and the Browns and the Bengals are all 2-1. Like, you got a lot of teams that are good in the AFC, and the Colts are already in a major hole. Major.
Major hole. The Chargers beat the Chiefs 30-24. Anyway, I told you I'm going to Atlantic City, and then I'm going. I've reversed my trip. I was going to go Sunday to Philly and to the game, and then after the game go to Atlantic City, and then party, have dinner, and gamble, and then go home Monday morning. But now I'm going Saturday to Atlantic City. I'm going to do all my gambling and business on Saturday and have dinner at this fancy restaurant on Saturday. Stay overnight in a badass suite.
Nice.
And then get up and drive to Philadelphia, hit the Eagles Chiefs game, 50-yard line, and then after the game, hit the 90-minute drive back to New York City. So I'm going in reverse order.
You'll be home in time for Brady and Belichick at 8 o'clock on Sunday night.
I will be home in time for Brady and Belichick. And then the following week.
Oh, Steelers.
I go to the Steeler-Bronco game in Pittsburgh. And, I'm flying into Pittsburgh to watch them lose again. But I enjoy going home. I enjoy going to the Steeler games. And I have to, you know, master it a little better this time than I did the last time. Like, when to go and all the rest. Like, I went right at kickoff. And it just was painful getting into the stadium. So I need to get there earlier and party. I'm telling you, the Cowboys 41-21 will be the final. And they are solid offensively. They can play with anybody offensively. I think they have issues. I don't think they're the best team anywhere close to it in the NFC.
No.
I don't, you know, I think there's four or five teams better than them easily. So to me, they would be like, obviously I think they'll win the East. So they're going to have a cushy playoff spot and maybe even a home game. But I don't think they're one of the best teams in the NFC. I really don't. I think there's, you know, better teams. I put them at like 5 or 6, but they kicked the Eagles' ass tonight, and they are going to the playoffs, in my opinion, Carver. They are a playoff team automatic because the rest of that division is complete ass.
The rest of the division is complete ass, just like it was last year. The difference this year is Dak Prescott's healthy. See, last year, everybody was ass, but the Cowboys had to play, you know, Andy Dalton and DiNucci and all these hacks,
right?
And that kind of derailed their season. Prescott's healthy, and that means that the Cowboys are going to be better than these other hack teams in their division.
All right, so we already talked bad about the Giants, so I don't want to talk about them anymore. The Falcons one, I think they stink too. Cardinals over to Jags, 31-19. You're up at the half, and you still get your ass smoked. That's all you need to know about the Jaguars. They were up at the half, and they still got smoked.
Awful job by the Jaguars. They were hanging around in that game. You know, getting 7.5, 8 right before kickoff and in the second half. I mean, what an awful pick six that Trevor Lawrence threw in that second half right after the Cardinals had retaken the lead. They stink. Like, honestly, where are they winning a game? Like, I know they have one game against the Jets. Believe it or not, the Jets and the Jaguars do play each other this year. That could be their only spot for a win. Like, the Jags even got roughed up by the Texans. Like, remember week 1, even the Texans who suck roughed up the Jaguars. Right. Like, where are they winning a game?
Like, they played Thursday night against the Bengals. They're going to get beat. And I'll tell you one thing. I think Burrow will kill him. And I think Trevor Lawrence sucks. He doesn't even look like a pro.
To be quite fair, and it's only been 3 weeks, none of these guys have looked impressive yet. Like, Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Mac Jones. None of them have looked impressive. You know, last year, Burrow looked great right out of the gate. Like, you knew that Burrow could play. Like, none of these guys have given you any kind of feeling like, wow, this guy's really got something. They've all looked shaky the first three.
So do you think that the Broncos are legit or the teams they play suck?
No, I think the Broncos are a paper tiger. I think we're eventually going to see the real Broncos. I'm not a believer.
They're posers.
I don't think they'll make the playoffs.
And you think even they'll lose this week to the Ravens?
I do think they'll lose this week. Yes, and I think they'll lose to the Steelers too.
Oh, Jesus. I don't even think the Steelers will score against them. I'll be at the game probably getting soaking wet.
When you've played the three teams that the Broncos have, you can't have a real gauge on them yet. You can't. They've played the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets. Those are their three wins. Those are three of the five worst teams that you were just mentioning before, and the Broncos have played all three of them. We need to see them play some real competition before we start pumping up the Broncos.
And the Raiders, in overtime over the Dolphins, they tried to give that game away five times. Are you buying or selling them? I think they lose to the Chargers on Monday night.
I do as well, but I'm buying the Raiders a little bit more than I'm buying the Broncos. I think that the Raiders, because I think they're better offensively.
The Rams beat the Buccaneers. Are they the best team in the NFL?
No, I'm not going to go that far. But I think that they are a very good team. I think they're one of the four or five best teams, no doubt. And doesn't it seem like McVay is like, it almost seemed at times yesterday like McVay was trying to, like, in front of the nation and against the Super Bowl champs, like, really dial it up with Stafford. Like, he wanted to be like, look what I have now. Like, you guys, like, I couldn't do this stuff with Goff. Like, I'm really showing you right now what I can do.
Yeah. And I think he should. What else would he be doing? I think he's doing exactly what he should be doing. And I think they're the best team in the NFC. And I do think they're better than Tampa. And here's why. I think Tampa's defense got hot last year in the last 6-7 weeks, right? And they won the Super Bowl, and no one could do anything against them. They were on fire. I think the first half of the season – all the way until the last 7 weeks, that's who they are. Then they got hot, and once they had Bowles put in the right blitz schemes and they got hot, they got confidence and hot, mixed it up in a glass of hot tea, and they were on their way, and they had Brady, and they had Gronk, and they had Brown, they had all this, Evans, and you name it, and I thought that they won the Super Bowl. I do not believe, I don't even have to say it. I mean, the defense is not good. They're good against the rush, and they're definitely not good against the pass. They have, their secondary's been lit up, and they are, ranked like 30th in the league against the pass. All I know is that's not the best team in the NFL. That's not the best team in the NFC. That's not a Super Bowl winning team right there. Even though they won the Super Bowl, their defense is playing first half of the season type defense that they played last year. I just don't think they're that good. I really don't. I think they're good enough to beat the Patriots on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. But
I don't think they're good enough to beat the Rams in L.A. And if they play them in an NFC title game in L.A., the same thing's going to happen.
I agree. And them getting that win is so huge because it gives them the tiebreaker over the Bucs if they do end up tied later on. Enormous win for the Rams. And hey, how about Deshaun Jackson? Like, we always say the guy never plays, but when he does, you mentioned it on Coast to Coast today, he's so dangerous when he's actually on the field. Even at his age, he could still burn, but the problem is he's always one step away from missing 8 weeks. Like, he's just always one foot plant away from missing 8 weeks.
If he has a hammy, it's over. But I got to tell you, when he's healthy, when his legs are not a problem, oh, my God. He's the fastest guy in the NFL. And he's just wide open when he runs routes.
It's amazing.
Wide open. Vikings, we talked about, and the Packers. I'll tell you what. I think the Packers are better than the Bucks too. No one can stop Adams and Rodgers. No one.
I mean,
they do whatever they want.
When he's on the field, it's so different. Like, you know how he came out for a couple plays when he got kind of banged up there? Like, their offense just does not run the same when he's not on the field. But when Adams is out there, man, they're good. Those two guys just have something special together. I think their D's a little suspect. I'm not big on the Packer D. I don't think it's very good.
Yeah, you're up 17-0, and then you're losing 28-27. Something's not right.
And I don't think the Niners are that great either. I know everybody, they got excited when they beat the Lions and the Eagles. I don't think the Niners are that good.
Well, now they, I just saw, who do they play?
Seattle. They got Seattle this week. All the NFC West teams, play each other this week.
Do you see the Niners losing again at home? I don't.
Yeah, man, Seattle going to fall to 1-3. Wow. Hey, but we said this. We said this before the season when they all had win totals of 10. Somebody in the NFC West is going to lose games. They're not all going to win 10 games. Somebody's going to lose games.
I picked Arizona.
That's just the way that it goes.
If you remember.
Yes, I do. And they're out to a great start.
I think they're legit. And
now,
we'll see if it holds water.
They've never beaten the Rams since McVay's been the coach. I think they're 6-0 or 7-8-0, whatever it is.
Eight in a row.
Yeah, since McVay's been there.
They play him this week, and that number is scary. It's 6. I grabbed it, but I think they could easily lose by they could lose by 16,
and that's
26.
And that's at SoFi, too, right? That's at SoFi on Sunday?
That's at SoFi, but look, Murray to Hopkins is as lethal as Adams and Rodgers.
Yeah.
Very lethal. Because Murray, he can get out of trouble in a hurry. He is a very elusive. He's the best scrambler in the NFL.
I agree. I think it's him
and
Lamar.
About Mahomes. I'm telling you, I think, without a doubt, I will say it, Murray is a way better scrambler, in my opinion, than Mahomes. They always talk about how great Mahomes is. I got to tell you, watching him scramble against the Chargers, he looks slow to me. Like that toe surgery, something.
Yeah.
He's not fast to me at all. He looks like he gained weight or something. He doesn't look fast to me at all. Murray is fast, and he is ankle break city. That guy is the best moves and escape artist since Fran Tarkington.
Mahomes had that whole offseason eating ice cream with the wife waiting for the baby to come. So he put on a couple pounds.
I think he did. How funny is it watching him stand on the sideline losing every week now when he said they were going to go 20-0? And how about when he said, Herbert, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said to you today. This is a different situation for the Chiefs. Usually they are front runners the last 3 years. When they've gone to AFC title games and Super Bowls, they have played from ahead, never losing in September, always beating teams up early in the year, getting off to 8-1, 10-1 starts. Different situation for the Chiefs this year at 1-2, and some tough games coming. I mean, after Philadelphia, they got the Bills at home on a Sunday night. Like they got some tough games coming down the road.
Right now, the Chiefs defense sucks so bad. I think the Bills can beat them. I don't care where they play the game. When we come back, we'll talk about college football and the Irish throw on a bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Carver High, what'd you think of the Irish? Because I got to tell you, I said to you today on Coast to Coast, I think their quarterbacks suck.
Well, look, Cone sucks. I've thought that since the season started. He was not going to be the answer. The kid that I wanted to see play was Tyler Buchner, of course, the freshman. Got in there a couple of weeks ago against Toledo and against Purdue, and he hurt his hamstring. So he did not play against Wisconsin. The kid from New Canaan, Drew Pine, came in. And, man, he was slinging it when he came in the game, right? I mean, he at least was trying to throw the ball around a little bit, but he isn't that great either. They definitely have a quarterback. Small dude. Very small kid. But he's very athletic. Here's the thing. Their defense is really good this year. I feel like this defense is better than the one last year that took him to the playoff, but the offense isn't as good, obviously, with Ian Book not being there anymore. And I don't think the offensive line is as sharp, but I still think they're going to beat Cincinnati. I think this
you don't
is a.
You think that Cincinnati defense is going to destroy Cone?
I think this is a big, big step up in class for Cincinnati this week. I know they're a good team. I know what they've done the last year and a half is impressive, but just remember, since 17, the only teams Notre Dame has lost to is Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson. They don't lose these games at home, at least not the last few years under Brian Kelly.
Well, fair enough. Now, I'm not going to argue with you, but you have to you have to take back that Cincinnati is not a big they are legit. They could play anyone now. They're not some, you know, dinky school that's getting lucky. Like, this is not Western Michigan when they were, remember when everybody was getting
They're much better than that.
This is not UCF we're talking about here. Cincinnati is better than those schools.
They are, but this is also a little bit of a step up from what they normally play. They're going into a different environment here this week. This is not a normal game for Cincinnati.
If they win this game, and I don't want them to, I just think I think they might.
If they win this game, they might get in the playoff.
That's right. If they win this game, they can run the tables, and then they might still screw it up, you know, like against a Memphis or whatever. Like every year, when they get to December or whatever, November, those late season games, the last two, three
like they
games,
could,
right?
They could lose a crazy game to UCF or Memphis or something like that at the end of the year and screw themselves. But if they win this game on Saturday, they are going to put themselves in a position where they can at least, if they go undefeated, have a better resume than last year and be in the conversation because they have that win in South Bend over the Irish. But I know that you think Cincinnati will win the game, but you do. I think you're with me on this. Notre Dame should not be underdog at home to this team. This should be Notre Dame -3 or something like that, or Notre Dame -2. I don't think that Cincinnati deserves to be favorite in South Bend over the Irish. That's a little much for me.
Yeah, I guess I can live with that. I'm not going to I don't think I'm going to lose any sleep over it. I don't think they should be favored, but I think it should be a pick 'em at worst.
It's a fascinating game, and I really want it bad just because, you know, I didn't like how the Cincinnati people last year thought they should have been in over Notre Dame in the playoff. This is a big game, really. And listen, the Irish are in the same boat here. Just like we said how great this is for Cincinnati, Notre Dame, now, if they can win this game, suddenly they look around and they see Clemson losing a couple games, and they see Oklahoma not that good, and they see Ohio State already with a loss. Suddenly Notre Dame, if they win this game, can kind of boost themselves back into that top five conversation.
You know, Notre Dame always has big games, right? They, in my opinion, they always have to, for the most part, 80% of their games aren't easy. People say they don't play anybody. They go from this game to Virginia Tech, to USC, to North Carolina, then Navy, Virginia, which I think are both cake eaters. Georgia Tech is no joke.
Nope,
they are
played
beating
well.
Everybody. They
but,
kicked
I mean,
North
look,
Carolina's
was,
ass. They gave Clemson problems.
This is a very hard stretch for Notre Dame that started last week. I mean, playing Wisconsin, Cincinnati, on the road at Virginia Tech, on you know, playing North Carolina, that is a very hard four-week stretch. And then USC as well, who, listen, they lost to the Beavers. The USC is having a hard time right now after firing Helton. But still, that's a tough game, always a huge rivalry.
Do you think that Notre Dame will be overwhelmed in Blacksburg with the Metallica, Enter Sandman, and that crowd and that rowdy scene in Blacksburg?
I'm interested to see. They still haven't announced a time for that game. Have they yet? Did they put? I just want to see. If that's a night game, I'd be
it's
a little
7:30 night game.
Okay, so they are doing night game. ABC, I'm guessing
it's not
that, right?
Good.
Yeah, listen, that's a tough. It's a tough spot. It's a really. They're better than Virginia Tech, but that's a very tough environment to win in.
So if you were to look at people, like obviously the bettors and I think that, you know, people that think they know that group, they all think Notre Dame's going to win this game against Cincinnati easily. I mean, they got it at right now. 58% of the people think that think they know, think that Notre Dame's going to win that game. I'll tell you what, you play Wisconsin and Cincinnati back-to-back, and you got shaky quarterbacks.
Yeah.
At some
the quarterback,
point, like,
the
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Yeah. It reminds me of A&M playing Arkansas, and they had a, you know, tough game right before that. I mean, think about it. A&M, let me just go back to the A&M game. So A&M gets blown out, and before that, they had an easy one, though. It was New Mexico, and then they had the tough game with Colorado, 10-7, right? So then they blow out New Mexico. Then they go get their ass beat by Arkansas. Do you think that, you know, having to play right away Cincinnati after playing that tough game with Wisconsin, because that was a 10-10 game, and then things just absolutely went black on Wisconsin in the fourth quarter. It, all hell broke loose. But I did not see that coming at all. I was thinking they'd win by 3 at best, right, or 10 at most, at most if they were lucky. But I was never really that worried about the 5.5. But I thought Wisconsin was running the ball pretty effectively, and they got back in that game when Notre Dame was up. They came back, they tied it, and then Notre Dame blew them out. Do you think that having to play Wisconsin in that physical brawl at Soldier Field and then turn right around and go play Cincinnati, even though the game's in South Bend, that that's not a nightmare?
I think it's a very tough situation, especially since Cincinnati didn't even play this week. So Cincinnati's coming in off a bye week. Notre Dame's coming in off of a very physical game with Wisconsin. It's a clear that aspect is a clear advantage to Cincinnati. I think once the Irish are going to have to lean on what their strength is, like it was against Wisconsin. Eventually, the defense won the day for them, and that's what they need to do against Cincinnati as well.
So I hit Villanova, that spread against Penn State, getting 30 or whatever.
Villanova's not a bad FCS team. They're one of the better teams in the lower division.
They're a playoff team. I was getting 30. I covered that. Iowa, Colorado State, I covered that both ways. Iowa to win. I had Colorado State in a big fat 23 spot. And then I hit Baylor, that spread. I hit the North Carolina State spread. What did you think of North Carolina State beating Clemson? I thought it was better than sex seeing Clemson lose finally. And now, you know, I think they're out of the playoff.
They're
but
finished.
Now what will really be nice is if they lose again. If they lose again... Yeah. If they lose again, which, you know,
they're going to lose
playing Wake, but at Death Valley, that's the only game. They're not losing to Clemson. They're not losing at Syracuse this week. And whatever that game is.
They got Boston College this week. But the
BC. They might lose that game.
But if the game, they've been at home.
They've given them fits before.
They have. And let me tell you, Boston College, you know, they beat Missouri at home on Saturday. Crazy game. A lot of respect to BC for that win. They played a couple tomato cans before that. They're a 4-0 team. But they're going to lose another game in the regular season in the ACC. They're going to have a third loss. I think that they're just not that good this year.
You think Wake could beat them?
Yes, I like Wake. I think Wake's played really well.
Michigan beat Rutgers by 7. I hit both ends of that. Michigan to win, Rutgers plus the points. You're still giving Rutgers no chance to upset Ohio State.
Look, it's very hard for me to say they'd beat them outright. I am 100% back in Rutgers with the points this week, though. 100%.
UCLA beat Stanford and handled the number. It was 4.5. What did you think of them winning by 11 at Palo Alto? Do you like that team? It's 3-1 now. Playing next week, I believe. They got off this week. Next week, it is this Saturday. They're playing Arizona State at the Rose Bowl.
Arizona State, and then they've got Oregon coming right around the corner as well one of these weeks in October.
That's in 4 weeks.
Okay, 4 weeks they've got Oregon coming up. I think UCLA has a chance to maybe – get to the Pac-12 title game. I think they're just as good or better than these other teams in the southern part of the Pac-12. We already seen that the wheels have fallen off for USC. I don't think that Arizona State's very good at all. I think I love UCLA this week. Love me.
I hit Florida laying 20 against Tennessee, and I hit Michigan State to win and Nebraska plus the 5.5. or I think it was five. What did you think of them losing in overtime in East Lansing? Are you on the Sparty as a legit team, undefeated 4-0?
Look, I think you have to be at this point with some of the wins that they've had now the last couple weeks. They survive against Nebraska the way that they beat Miami. I think you have to start to believe that this they got a little something special going at Michigan State. I'm not saying they're going to win the conference or be in the Big Ten title game, but I think when people thought they were going to suck, suddenly this might be an 8 or a 9-win Michigan State team.
Does Florida go to Lexington and handle 8.5 against Kentucky? Let me tell you, I think they do.
I had to sweat out Kentucky on Saturday night, man. I had them laying the 4.5 against South Carolina on the road, 16-10, a real rock fight. They won.
Oh, I lost that by a point.
Yeah.
They were getting 5, and they lost by 6.
Yep. Man, Florida usually dominates. Kentucky beat him a couple years ago for the first time in ages. That's going to be a very – I think this is a low-scoring game. I think Florida wins, but I think it's closer. I think it's a close game.
Oklahoma beats West Virginia by 3. I hit that both ways.
Oklahoma stays.
Oklahoma, they're booing Rattler. Welcome to Norman. He's getting booed now. They're playing at K-State, who always seems to give them a game, and I'm getting 10 and a hook.
They've beat them the last 2 years. K-State's going for 3 in a row against Oklahoma at the Little Apple on Saturday. I like the 10.5.
Wouldn't that be great to see?
Oh, please.
There you go. The rest of them aren't worth talking about. It's Pharrell on a bench.
Scott, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
Mariners came storming back. They were down earlier and like 3-0, and now they're up 8-4 on the A's in the fourth. So they've just been grinding up in Seattle, and the Rockies trail the Nationals 4-3, bottom 8 in course, but they got runners on first and second with 2 outs. The big question is, and I hit the other games today, Reds I hit, White Sox I hit, Indians I hit. I need the Mariners and Rockies for a 5-0 day. Tomorrow's what really matters. Yankees and Jays in Toronto. That's what it's all about. What do you think happens?
I really don't like that the Yankees, aside from the Cole game, are throwing Jameson shots at Tyone off the IL and then Kluber on Thursday. They need to win 2 out of these 3 games. I got confidence in the Cole game. Kluber stinks. I mean, he really stinks. And I don't know what to expect out of Tyone tomorrow. He hasn't pitched in a few weeks. I mean, the Blue Jays just kicked their ass every time they've played him this year. I don't have a lot of confidence.
Can you believe I bet on them? I bet on the Yankees. I've been hitting them left and right baseball games, but I'm betting on them because of the way they're hitting and the way Stanton's hitting and Judge, and I'm just going with that. And even though Ryu's been incredible and the Jays own the Yankees, I'm still taking them because, I mean, for me, they need, you know, 2 here, 2 against the Rays, and they're in. And I just need them to be in because anything's possible with a one gamer. I cannot wait for that game tomorrow, 7 o'clock in Toronto. That's what I'm living for. That's my Tuesday. We'll see you at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast for Carver High and Pharrell. Good night.